This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today I will be taught the word of faith. I boldly confess that my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, and I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we are in a series entitled Important Lessons That Changed My Life. And I've told you over the past couple weeks, and my intro has been the same on purpose, because that's how we learn, through repetition. And so, I think I have the same testimony that you have, that all my life God's been good. Right? Like, no matter what the situation, doesn't mean I've never been through tough times, but when you really think about it, all our lives, God has been good to us, right? And then, I've had people, ask me and talk to me, and tell me that I've had wisdom beyond my years, and I believe that that is the wisdom of God. And I also believe that if you walk with the wise, you will increase in wisdom. And so I've always hung around people that knew more than me, that had more than me, and because I always wanted to be stretched. I wasn't bothered by how much more they had or their success or anything like that, because I understood that exposure expanded my expectation. Repeat after me, say exposure, expands expectation. So when God exposes us to people who have more, it is not to provoke us into jealousy, but to expose us to what is possible for our lives. You can't become what you haven't seen or heard. Our response determines whether we are postured for increase or we're relegated to lack. Proverbs the 13th chapter and the 20th verse says, become wise by doing what, class? Walking with the wise. Okay, we're going to do that again. Proverbs 13 and 20. There's a whole lot of y'all in here. Proverbs 13 and 20 says, become wise by doing what, class? There they are. Hang out with fools and watch your life fall to pieces. That's the Bible. I mean, the Bible basically says, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. You got it? Like birds of a feather do what? You become like who you spend time with. And so when choosing friends, I've told you the past few weeks, you have to ask questions. Number one, do we have the same convictions? Number two, are they going somewhere? Number three, will they make me a better person? Because in life, people will either add, subtract, or divide. People will either add to your life, they'll either subtract, take from your life, or they'll cause all kind of division in your life. Hang around with people who add to your life. And while they're adding to your life, you ought to be adding to theirs. All right? My definition for wisdom is a disciplined approach to living, whereby I operate by spiritual principles, and through discernment, I accurately apply both natural knowledge and spiritual knowledge into my situation, bringing forth the perfect will of God for my life. And so that's what wisdom is. Wisdom is taking not only the spiritual, but the natural, or not only the natural, but the spiritual, and bringing them together to bring forth the perfect will of God for our lives. Proverbs, the 4th chapter and the 7th verse, has been a foundational text for us. It says that wisdom is what? The principal thing, therefore get wisdom. He says, but in all thy getting, get what, class? Understanding. And it's important that we understand that once I get this understanding, once I get this knowledge, I now have information. Wisdom is the application of that knowledge. Does that make sense? So it says, exalt her, talking about wisdom, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou doest embrace her. So it's so important that we make sure that we get wisdom. The Bible teaches us in the book of James, that if a man needs wisdom, all he has to do is what? Ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. And so it's important to make sure that you always get the wisdom you need from God. And sometimes, how many know, in going to ask God for wisdom, he'll send you in a direction of a person who has the wisdom you need for the situation that you're in. Does that make sense? That's why mentorship and all those kind of things and being around people of like precious faith or people who have gone a little bit before you, it is so vitally important. So what we're going to do is going to jump into a new lesson that changed my life, but I want to go through all the ones that I want to just kind of rehearse all the ones we've talked about. So let's, in the back, go ahead and put number one up on the screen, and we're going to go through them. Okay, here we go. Number one, learning to be a giver and not a taker will cause you to live what? An amazing life. Okay, let's put up number two. Patience will help you and not hurt you if you exercise. All right, if you exercise it. All right, here we go. Number three, God's timing is just as important as what? All right? It's just as important as knowing God's task. All right? Number four, integrity and influence can take a lifetime to build and what? One poor choice to lose, so make good choices. All right? Here's number five up on the screen. What does it say? Think before you speak. Does anybody remember what our acronym for THINK was? You got it? Okay. See, they came to the 9 o'clock. All right. All right. So what we got, brothers?
True, helpful, inspiring, necessary, and kind.
All right. Y'all got it on screen or no? Bop. Y'all got it in the back too. Praise the Lord. All right. So anything I say, you got it. Anything I post, however I react or respond, how I talk to my wife, how I talk to my friends, how I talk to you all as members of Without Limits Christian Center, I need to ask myself the question before I open my mouth, is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? And is it kind? And if it's not that, don't say it. My grandmother told me, if you ain't got nothing good to say, don't say nothing at all. Can I get a... All right, and so we're going to jump into some new information. Just one lesson today, because it's going to take me a while to get through this one. I believe it's going to be a blessing to you. I am cold again. So did we go back, or is it on? Did you go down? Okay, praise the Lord. Y'all feel good, though? Well, now we're going to keep it. If y'all feel good, I'll suffer for Jesus and freeze. No, but like, yeah. But like, see, y'all have to remember something. When we built this building on purpose, Pastor did units out there. Oh, see, it's already warmer over here. Oh, it's better out here. If you were up here, you would see what I mean. That's a rule. Never turn you back to the camera, so I had to do it backwards. See, it's much cooler up here. Yeah, it's all right. But it's okay. I'm about to be on fire. Put number six on the screen. Put number six on the screen. There we go. All right, here we go. Help me out. Being in agreement with your spouse will take you further than what, class? Making an independent decision, all right? This is what we are going to talk about. We're going to talk a little bit about the power of agreement. We're going to talk a little bit about marriage. We're going to talk a little bit about honor. When you leave out of here today, you're going to have some good information. This is not just for married people. Like, if you are not married, you got it. This is good information for life. But, you know, when you get married one day, you're going to already have what you need to kind of, you know, get to where you're trying to go. Being in agreement, and I know a little bit about this subject, because this coming December, Lady LaConte and I will have been married 25 years. I know I don't even look 25, right? I look like I'm 29 and a half, right? Like, we got married when we was 4.5 years old, right? But anyways, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it, all right? So being in agreement with your spouse will take you further than making an independent decision. And you've got to understand that in life, agreement is key, okay? Agreement is the keeper of peace, all right? Now, I teach that when it comes to marriage, but that's, you know, in my business relationships that I have with people that I do business, just all kind of things. Agreement is the keeper of peace. With friendships, agreement is the keeper of peace. But certainly in marriage, agreement is the keeper of peace. And so we're going to talk a little bit about this, and even though I might give it to you from I'm using some illustrations from marriage, and you know, I can talk about me and Lady because we ain't mad at each other, praise the Lord, you know, and those kind of things. You can use these principles in every relationship in your life, all right? When we begin to talk about success in marriage, what people don't realize is that success in marriage is more mental than anything. Now, of course, you need Jesus at the center. You got it. No doubt. I mean, that's number one, right? And of course, you need love. You know, but the song says, all you need is love. Love. Love is all. That ain't true. No, that's, you need more than love. You need Jesus. You need the Holy Ghost. You need Casper the Friendly Ghost. Oh, no, he's not. But you know what I'm saying? You need communication. Isn't that right? You got it. You need forgiveness. Right? You need to be able to suffer long or have long suffering to one another. So you need a lot of things, all right? But it's really mental. What do you mean by mental? It is making up your mind in your relationship to make things work. right? Like I have made up my mind that I will always be married to Lady, all right? I will, what did Pastor say? He will always be married to Lady. You know, well, Pastor, what if she pack her bags? You know, she leaving. And ain't no problem, I'm going to pack my bags too. What if she don't let you in the car? I got my own car. You understand what I'm saying? I'm just going to follow her. We're going to figure this thing out. We're going to make it work because ain't no woman like the one I got. What am I doing? And some of y'all are laughing, but if Lady was to talk to you on the side, she'd say, he ain't lying. He true. He telling the truth. He would follow me. If I drove to California, he'd be right behind me. You got it? So why? Because I have made up my mind, you got it, that I'm going to keep Jesus at the center, you got it, that she is my one and my only, right? You got it? And I'm going to make her my priority. I'm going to make it up in my mind that even if we have, I pray we don't, but even if we have a tough season in our life, we're going to make it work, all right? See, it is agreeing to disagree sometimes. It's not allowing a disagreement to turn into stubbornness, to turn into tough seasons that ultimately the devil tries to get you to turn into divorce. See, you have to be careful because the enemy is cunning. You got it? The enemy is crafty. You got it? You know, now he ain't got no power. You understand? But what he'll do is he will try to come in a tough situation of your marriage or a tough season of your life. And y'all, you know, everything for the most part is good. All of a sudden you have one big blow up, but he wants that blow up to turn into something much bigger than that. He wants to start reminding you, well, she wouldn't have done that. And if he wouldn't have said that, you know, and doing things like that, because ultimately what the enemy wants you to do, married couples, is the enemy wants you to change your mind about your spouse. Right. Wants you to change your mind about the one that you fell in love with. You got it? And so anytime those thoughts come, you got to cast those thoughts down. You got it? And so we're going to talk about that because it's important. All right? It is making my spouse my priority, making my spouse feel important and special. You should always make your spouse feel important and special, men and women. So it's not just pastor always telling Lady, that I love her and that she's beautiful because she is. You understand? This girl is gorgeous. You got it? That girl is on fire. You understand what I'm saying? And so watch this. But it's also, you know, her doing the same thing for me. Does that make sense? All right. It's understanding that my spouse benefits me, that my spouse is an asset to me and not a liability. You got it? So I was, done a lot of weddings and that kind of thing. And so as you do weddings, you have the vows. And then you say to the man, always start with the man first, do you promise before God that you will honor her, that you will do all these things? They say, yeah. And then for them to go to the woman, and this one time I was going through and I said that you will honor him. She said, I said, you obey him. She's like, I ain't know that was in the script. You might have should have emailed me that last night, Pastor. And that is why I tell my singles that I would rather have you single, wishing you were married than to have you married wishing you were single. So in other words, take your time. You got it. Check all the boxes. Don't ignore the red flags. Talk to me, somebody. You got it. Make sure you're doing everything you have to do. So that way, when you get up here, you really mean I do. You got it? Because we don't want I do to turn into I don't. We're going to talk about that later, how that happens. So you have to understand, and don't listen to culture. Guys, culture, I see it everywhere now. I'm a little bit on social media. I'm not actually a lot on social media. I'm really on social media on Facebook for y'all's sake, for the church, bottom line. If I wasn't a pastor, I probably wouldn't be on it. Too much foolishness for me. That's just me. You understand what I'm saying? Now, I'm on Instagram because I follow, I'm big on business and entrepreneur and that kind of thing. My brain works like that. I've just been very successful in life, and so I like to follow that kind of stuff. But even on business and entrepreneur posts, they're telling you, oh, don't get married. You know, the way to do it nowadays is y'all just live together, but stay single. You let him keep his, and you keep your. But that ain't the Bible. That ain't the Bible. Because you have to understand, it's just paper talking about the wedding, talking about the marriage license, but that's actually not true. You got it? Marriage, you got it, is something that was honored by God. You got it? Marriage is when a man and a woman, you got it, who are both imperfect, come together, right, and decide, hey, we're going to make this thing work. We love each other, and they have these vows that they say before God. We're going to read a little bit later in 1 Peter, but the Bible talks about how when they become one, they are heirs together of the grace of life. So what happens is when they say I do, you got it, and get all the way to the end, and you may kiss your bride, it's not just something natural that happened, it's something spiritual that also happened, that not God now breathes down on that marriage. There's a favor that comes on that marriage. Watch this. And as long as James, that's me, and LaConte, that's lady, as long as James and LaConte can keep Jesus at the center, right, and can walk this word out, can stay in agreement, can stay in love, can keep good communication, anything becomes possible for our lives. Does that make sense? Because it's not just James and LaConte doing it. You got it? It's James and LaConte believing for something big, but because the two have become one and something supernatural there, there's a grace on it. So when we get in faith and we get in agreement, God breathes on that situation. Does that make sense? All right? Because you got to understand that marriage is a covenant and not a contract. Because they say, it's just paper. No. Marriage is a covenant. See, a contract is to protect your rights and limit your responsibilities. But a covenant is to give up your rights and pick up responsibilities. All right? And when we begin to understand how marriage works, you know, if you do it God's way, marriage is absolutely amazing. You got it. If you do it, Matt, God, lady said amen. That's the only person that said amen. All right. So there's three areas where you have to give up your rights in marriage. And that's why I preface that, because when I start talking about giving up rights and stuff, that's what I'm talking about. No. It's an amazing thing if you work together. You got it. But you can't be selfish and be married. You can't be all about you and be married. You can't, you know, do it your way and your way only and think that it's really going to work. You have to do it God's way. You got it? All right. So there's three areas where you give up your rights in marriage. And the first one is simply priorities. Now, what do you mean by that? Your spouse becomes your number one. That's at the end of the day. Lady is my number one. It doesn't mean that I don't have other things to take care of. It doesn't mean that I can't go do some other things that I like to do and enjoy in my leisure. It doesn't mean that. It just means that I always make sure that she's my number one priority and that she's good. If she's good, then everything is good. And that's vice versa for both of us, okay? All right? So number one priority is number two, you give up your right and your possessions, all right? Now the two have become one. Y'all's married now. So everything belongs to both of y'all. That's my car. You can't drive my car. No, it's y'all's car now. That's my car. You be leaving church. That pastor say what he wants you. You go ahead and try to drive my car if you want to. You're going to find out. You're going to find out. Well, you can do what you want to, but that ain't what the Bible says. Priorities, possessions, and privacy, all right? Now, and I explain all of these because I'm not saying you can't have any privacy, but what I'm saying is there are no secrets in marriage, right? Like, I'm not keeping anything from my wife, and she's not keeping anything from me. Does that make sense? All right? And so you have to really begin to understand, you got it, that being in agreement, okay, now that I'm married, being in agreement with my spouse will take me further than an independent decision. Because if I make an independent decision and don't tell my... You know, like imagine, you know, okay, here we go. Imagine a husband and a wife, all right, are doing okay financially. You know, they're able to take care of things, but, you know, it's maybe just a little bit tight, but they're working it out, right? And then all of a sudden the husband doesn't tell the wife, and he decides he's going to go buy him a fishing boat. You got it? Now, he might be excited and thought he heard from the Lord. But if he didn't go to his wife and get agreement on it, he really didn't hear from God. Does that make sense? Yeah. And now, you got it, something is going to start, you got it, as a result of him and going and buying something that they didn't agree on. What's going to start? An argument. And sometimes if we don't know how to temper arguments and communicate properly, arguments turn into a lot of things, fighting and yelling and raising our voices and you know, and saying things that we ought not say. You make me sick. You make me sick. You got it? You know, you better go over there. You ain't my daddy. You better wish I wasn't your daddy. You understand what I'm saying? You got it? Just saying all kind of things, bringing up stuff that ain't got nothing to do. That's why you can't even cook. I wish you make macaroni cheese like my mama. You don't even know how to cook. Well, tell your mammy to come over here and make that macaroni chip, like all, and round she goes, and where she stops, nobody knows, and the enemy is having a blast, because he knows, even the devil knows, that if you two can stay in agreement, and stay in unity, and keep Jesus at the center, that the favor will flow, but he also knows, if I can keep them apart, and I'm gonna talk to them on each side to go at one another, and if I can keep turmoil in the marriage, nothing will work. And so and that's why the Bible says we cannot be ignorant concerning Satan's devices. The enemy ultimately wants to get the husband to change his mind about the wife. You got it. Look at her. Look at her. She aging. She been with you, Joker. You got like, but you see how the enemy, you got it, will try to say something. If you're not thinking logically, you're like, she get a little old. You got it? Praise the Lord. I ain't going to go no further. I think that's enough. We ain't going down that road. We are not going down that road. And so one of the big keys to a successful relationship is learning conflict resolution, because there are going to be times when you don't agree on things. There are going to be times where, where lady thinks she's right and I know I'm right. I'm just playing, all right? There are going to be times, some of y'all didn't even catch that. And there are going to be times, you got it, where maybe we're kind of at odds, but look, if we handle it God's way, it never has to go to the right. Does that make sense? And so I think that the whole key is honor, okay? You know, and the whole it's the honor that I have for her that I'm not gonna call her outside of her name. It's the honor that I have for her. You got it? That I'm not gonna go talking to my friends about her. You got it? How many know you should keep your marriage between you and your spouse, and keep everybody up out of your? Everybody, mama, daddy, grandmama. The children, everybody. You got it? You know, and don't try to get people to take sides. One of the worst things you can do is get someone to take sides, especially trying to get your children to take sides. Now, that's the devil. Because a child should love his mama and his daddy. I don't care what nobody says. I don't care how much y'all been fighting. I don't care how much you hate each other. Never try to pit one child against another parent. It is not of God. It is wrong. It can cause a lot of problems. You got it. And then something else. Watch this now. You know, don't go to mama talking about what he did. You got it. You know, or because what happens is, you know, if you're their child, they love you. So they're going to automatically take your side. But what happens is y'all going to figure it out and make up. You got it. And everything going to be all right. But mama's still, I don't trust him. I don't trust him. Why? Because you done feel mama's head with what happened. And mama can't handle that because mama love you. Does that make sense? Okay, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. the biggest thing in conflict resolution is communication. Everybody say communication. Oh man, I have a lot of ways to go, but only a little time. But it's okay, we'll get there. Communication, hear me now. My definition is discussion with the intent to agree. So now we are communicating. Okay? When we're yelling, we're not communicating. When we're taking shots at one another, we're not communicating. You got it? When you're saying what you're saying, and I'm standing up and saying, is that what she mean? Okay, yeah. And I'm forming my rebuttal, you got it, and not listening to what she says, I'm not communicating. If she said, and this too, babe, and I want you to know about, and babe, this really bothers me too. If lady's doing that, I'm like, oh, is that how she feel? Oh, okay, I got something. Just as soon as she paused, I'm going to give her respect. But as soon as she paused, I'm about to unload on her. Now, that ain't communication. Am I right? No, it is discussion with the intent to agree. So when she tells me what's going on and how she feels, I'm intently listening to what she says, and I'm listening to her heart. You got it? And I'm listening objectively. You got it? Even if I disagree with whatever the subject is, doesn't matter. I put that on the table, the disagreement, and I'm listening to see if I can, here's the big word, find understanding. Does that make sense? Man, I'm teaching better than y'all shouting amen in here. That's okay. All right. And so it's discussions with the intent to agree. 1 Peter 3:7. I got 4 minutes. I'm going to make it. It says, likewise, ye husbands. Now, please understand, the Bible is principle-driven. The Bible is full of prophecy, promises, and principles. For every prophecy, for every promise, for every principle, there's a faith process to bring it to pass. I believe that the word is principle-driven. So if it says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them, talking about the wives, according to knowledge, in other words, knowing them, I believe it's the same thing for the ladies. If it says giving honor unto the wife, I think you also give honor to the husband. You understand what I'm saying? But watch this. When you keep reading, it says, and being heirs together of the grace of life. Watch this, class, that your prayers be not hindered. So do you know that there is no way that I can just treat lady any old kind of way, be mean to her, say all these things, you know, just be mean. And then in the morning, and I pray all the time, but if I have a set time when I'm going to go somewhere and, you know, I still have my confession book and my prayer journal, you know, and go somewhere and do that, it's going to be in the morning for me. I can't be mean to her and then go to her, so Father, I just love you. I magnify. He said, uh-huh, that's all good. Go back and get it right with your wife and then come back and talk to me. Right? Yeah, and so watch this, because the Bible says there's this grace that comes on your life, and he says that literally, if I'm not working this thing out the right way, my prayers are going to be hindered. So it is important that a husband and a wife are in agreement, watch this, and have Jesus at the center and are doing what the Bible teaches us to do. You got it. If you do that, man, your life can be absolutely amazing. So the key is honor, all right? The key is what?
Honor.
Okay, the key is honor. Hoo-wee. All right, man, everybody say if you had time. Man, I got to go, but if I had time, all right? If I had time, oh, I don't even want to talk to you about that. That would take a long time to talk about the differences between men and women. You know, and don't take this the wrong way, all right? This is not disrespectful. Not all, but most women, don't get upset with me, ladies, but y'all talk in circles and we talk in straight lines. So I say to lady, babe, what's for dinner? Well, babe, I went to Food Lion, and you are not going to believe who I saw. You got it. And I was on my way to the chicken aisle, but that chicken got kind of expensive, so I figured I'd go over there and see how the sausages were looking, and then guess who else I ran into? You know, and we're doing all that, and all I wanted to know was what's for dinner. Right? I got one or two options. I can be all mad and everything. Or I could learn that that's how she gonna have to get out more words. I mean, now actually, I'm a big time communicator too, so I get a lot of words out too, right? Okay, but a lot of guys aren't as communicative as me. If it's a word, I don't know, but anyways. And so brothers, that tells us, okay, they have a lot to share with us, so let's just be ready for that to give them the time they need to share what they need to share. Does that make sense? That has to do with dwelling with each other according to knowledge. Pastor, how does, in my 40 seconds, a person go from saying I do to I don't? Real easy. I'm going to give them all to you because we got to go. Sin, selfishness, and sidekicks. If you see a relationship going down or has gone down or ended up in divorce, and let's say you were on the side of, man, I lost my marriage, and, you know, I'm that's not what I wanted. If you look back, it was because either sin, selfishness, or sidekicks. I'm going to give it to you real quick. Y'all want it real fast? Sin. This is where a person allows their flesh to get involved in sinful activity that slowly but surely erodes that person's love and respect for God's word and the relationship. Selfishness. This is where a person's focus in a relationship shifts from satisfying the other person to self-satisfaction. Their main objective now in the relationship is their personal happiness at any cost. Or the last one, sidekicks. This is where the compromising activities and sometimes sinful habits of friends, associates, even social companions begins to influence and overtake what a person knows is right. You know you ain't supposed to be doing that. You got it. You know you ain't supposed to be smoking the reefer. You know you ain't supposed to be doing that. You know it. But your friends. Proverbs 13:20. You know, I'm old school. I don't know all them new words. I don't know if I shouldn't have said that. Smoking endo? Sipping on gin and juice? I don't. Proverbs 13 and 20, put it up on the screen. Become wise by doing what, class? Y'all ain't ready. Y'all still like, Pastor, know what that is? I was in high school. I heard all that stuff. All right. Come on now. Because some of y'all still can't get it together. See, that's why I don't even do that sometimes, because y'all like, I can't, my pastor just, I'm just. What was the song that I said the other day? Oh, you're at church? Okay. All the ladies in the place were styling great. Now, that's the only thing, the only part I know. But be like, I can't believe, Pastor. You got it? So y'all being funny. Let me just rip y'all out the plastic. Because y'all acting brand new. Okay. We got to get some order back in this church. So play something meditational, Corey. We got to go home. It's early, but we got to go home. So several weeks ago, when did I say? Several weeks ago, I said that it was for the Dream Girls, all the ladies in place of Style and Grace. So we were doing something. I taught a lesson, and I said something had nothing to do with anything that I would know anything about. And ladies like, babe, if you ever say, just say, rip me out the plastic. That's all you got to do. I'm like, what are you talking about? And I just forgot. I was like, man, I ain't doing that. Because when I teach, what y'all don't understand is the humor that I have, that's never designed. When I teach my lesson, I mean, when I'm going over my lesson in the week, it's all spiritual. It really is. It's all principles. But because God gives it to me in a way to give it to you where you can receive the word, where it's not so heavy. I be talking about sin. I know you're right. I got to get my life together, Pastor. Right? And so, you know, but what happens is we might be laughing and having a good time, but you know you need to be in agreement with your spouse. You know that sin, selfishness, and sidekicks going to mess you up. Isn't that right? All right. So stop acting brand new, all right? Forget, let's go home. Let's just go home. It's early. It ain't. Service started at 11, 12, 15, we're supposed to be over. It's 12, 11. We going home. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. Right, I'm going to give y'all a minute to get serious. Because we want to switch, because there's some people in the room or maybe online who may need to make decisions for Jesus today. And it's okay to have fun. And I believe that laughter is good medicine. I believe that when you leave out of here today, you've been full of faith. You've been filled with faith. You know, you've had some good laughter. You're ready to go out here and have an amazing week. But maybe there's somebody in the room online and they don't know the Jesus you know. They've not accepted him into their hearts like you have. And so we want to give them the opportunity. Jesus is the absolute best thing that ever happened to me. And I know he'll be the best thing that ever happened to you. The Bible teaches us in Romans 10 and 9, if we'll just confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, that we shall be saved. It goes on to say, for with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. And all that means is you have to believe that God sent his only son, Jesus, to die for you, and that you need him in your life to the degree that you're willing to repent of your sins. The Bible says that every man that comes to Christ is a new creature, that old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. Maybe you need to rededicate your life to the Lord. I want you to know God's not mad at you. He's not upset with you, but he loves you so very much. Maybe you're a Christian in the room or online, and you just need to repent about some things. And let me just tell you, as Christians, we make mistakes. We fall short sometimes. And right now is the best time just to repent and get it right. See, repentance doesn't put you at the back of the line. It just puts you back in line. Maybe you're looking for a good church home. I believe the church you go to and the words you hear makes a difference. I believe the type of life you live is really based on the type of church you go to and words you hear. The Bible says those that are planted in the house of the Lord are the ones that flourish. So number one, it's the will of God for you to be saved. And then number two, it's the will of God for you to be a part of a Bible-believing church that will teach you the principles of faith to help you overcome every obstacle so you can walk in victory, not in some areas, but in every area of your life. And so I talked about the connection card. If you want to get saved, use the connection card. If you're going to get rededicate your life, use the connection card. If you want to join this amazing church, use the connection card. So make sure that you seal the deal when we get done praying and use the connection card. So I want everyone to repeat this simple prayer after me in the room and online. Say, Father, I come to you asking you to forgive me for sinning against you, a holy God. I know Jesus died, shed his blood just for me. Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. And from this day forward, I'll serve you. Now, Satan, I denounce you and every evil work. Tell him you have nothing to do with me. I have nothing to do with you. Jesus is my Savior. He's my Lord, and I'll always serve him. Now, Father, we thank you for what you've done. We give you praise for it right now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Can you give the Lord a big praise?